Hello, everyone. Dan Rodriguez here with Beyond Diet. Before we get started, I just want to update you guys because it's been a while since we've had a show. In fact, the last episode that we did was back in April, April 24th. And I've had a lot of emails saying, hey, is this show going to continue? What's going on? We miss you. Is this podcast canceled? What's going on? Well, the podcast is not canceled. That's number one. I just want to put that out there. I want to make that very clear. The podcast is not canceled. What's been happening, though, as of late, it's been very difficult to produce a new show due to our schedules. It's been just crazy. I've been extremely busy. So has Michael and Keith as well, and Roxanne, who's been on. A lot of you have written about Keith. Hey, how's he doing? Is he coming back? The answer is Keith Klein is coming back to the show. He is going to be limited as to how often he can do this. But in fact, I actually talked to him very recently, and we are going to record an episode very shortly here. So that's what's going on. It's not that I don't want to. It's not that we don't want to produce the show. We do love our listeners, and we do love the support. But I just wanted to kind of clarify things. So for this time around, guys, we're going to put out a recast. And this one is going to talk about energy drinks. It's a hot one, man, because there's so many people that are tired out there and they want to get that quick fix and just really get ramped up. We're going to talk about energy drinks. Enjoy this episode, and we will put a new one very soon, I promise. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Everybody, I'm nutritionist Keith Klein. I want to welcome you to our podcast on Beyond Diet. I want to tell you that today we're going to be talking about a great subject matter because it is the beginning of the year. But whether it's the beginning of the year or the end of the year, many of you have heard about all these energy drinks. And these energy drinks are sold not only through gyms, but also through stop and goes and places like that. And we're going to cover those in great detail with my good friend, Dan Rodriguez. Are you there?
Hey, everyone. This is Dan Rodriguez, and I'm really excited to talk to you this time. You know, this is episode number six. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's going by fast, but you know what?
It is.
I love giving out great information, and I hope that the people are following it step by step, going through each one and going back and listening to some of the other ones, because each time we cover a completely different topic, and we never repeat ourselves on a topic that we've already covered. So there's a lot of information there in all five other episodes to listen to.
Absolutely. Let's get started, Keith. You know, I'm holding in my hand one of the most popular energy, when you say energy drinks, it used to be just Red Bull, you know, that started it all. And then you had everyone else jump in the bandwagon, coming out with these energy drinks that are filled with sugar, filled with caffeine. That's great. Not really. It's not great. But I'm going to talk about specifically one that's very popular. I don't know about there in Texas, but here in Michigan, it's called a 5-Hour Energy Shot. Now, this is not a drink. This is a little bottle that you drink, and it's about $3, so it's not cheap. And you take this, you drink it, and it's supposed to give you, this is what it says in the bottle, 5-Hour Energy, hours of energy, no crash, sugar-free, only 4 calories. Feel it in minutes, last for hours, okay? So what I like to do, Keith, is I'm looking at the back of the bottle, and I want to tell you, give you the list of the ingredients. And
let me ask you a question first.
Sure.
You saw this bottle, and it's just basically is labeled as an energy drink.
Yep.
It's a shot.
It's an energy shot, yes. It's a little tiny bottle.
What attracted you to it? Was it something you were thinking you needed, or did you just see it at the spur of the moment sitting there,
you know what,
as a sale item?
This thing was strategically placed. It's very – here's the thing. It's at a checkout. at a gas station. Okay. So most people are low in energy. Okay. And you go get gas. And when you go pay for gas, you see a little thing. Oh, wow. 5-hour energy drink. It caught my eye. Just the name of it alone, you know, sounded interesting. So I decided to buy it. And I actually tried it, Keith. I'll be honest with you. I tried one.
Okay. Now, let me ask you another question before you tell me about your experience with it. What does the definition of an energy drink mean to you? When you hear the word energy drink, energy shot, what is the definition of that to you?
Definition, Keith, is that it's going to bring me back to life. If I'm tired, if I wake up tired, okay, and if I'm tired during the day and I see a solution, a quick and easy solution that's going to give me a burst of energy, that's what, you know, that's what was going through my mind.
Okay, so automatically you just identified some key traits that are used in the marketing industry. Number one, identify a problem.
Yes.
You said that a problem is that most people are tired. Number two, you give a solution to the problem. Number three, you make sure it's quick, fast, and convenient. And number four, you make sure that you price it in accordance with something that somebody will see as a good benefit cost risk ratio, right?
Yeah.
Does that fit all those parameters?
Yep, because if this thing would have been 50 cents, I wouldn't even have paid attention. But the $3 price point is, you know, expensive enough to grab my attention and say, for $3, this thing's got to work, you know?
Yeah, so now there's the other thing. It grabbed your attention, was strategically placed, and it was placed in a gas station. Do you know that most gas stations do not make their profit off the gas? In fact, they make very little profit off the gas. One of the problems that occurred originally when gas stations began integrating the new computerized gas pumps where you slide in your credit card at the pump was that people stopped going inside. When people stopped going inside the gas stations, they started losing money because their point of purchase sales, they rack everything up. You know, a candy bar can cost you $1 where it might cost you 50 cents somewhere else. And where they really make their money is inside. Then what happened was a marketing firm came up with the idea to merge fast food with gas stations, Starbucks coffee, Krispy Kreme donuts, to drive people into the gas station, although they're paying at the pump to spend extra dollars so that they could maintain some semblance of profit because their profits really went down, and the gas station industry as a whole was tremendously hurt by the new advanced technology of paying at the pump. So you're a byproduct of a typical consumer who walks in and snags an energy drink. So let's understand, first of all, that was some really good marketing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Now let's understand the definition of the term energy. There is no legal definition to the term energy other than it is calories. See, so it's calories. There is no legal definition. So wouldn't sugar be considered energy?
Yes, that's true.
It is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't any food be considered energy giving, whether it's protein or whether it's carbohydrates of any kind?
Well, all food for the most part gets turned to energy.
Or wouldn't a stimulant like caffeine be considered, and couldn't it be labeled energy?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So let's be clear that the term energy can apply to anything, including a candy bar. So I can label a candy bar as an energy bar and sell it to you and be totally within the realm of the legal rights to do so.
True.
Okay. Now, so you used the product. What did you experience?
Honestly, Keith, I was kind of surprised. It did give me a boost. And it didn't, you know, I did it out of curiosity more than anything. But I did experience energy. And it did last for a good amount of time.
Define a good amount of time. Did it really last 5 hours?
I didn't time it, Keith, but I got to tell you, it did last for hours.
Mark my words, they're going to probably find themselves in trouble with the FTC.
Why do you say that?
How can you guarantee me that that's going to last me 5 hours of energy? See, that's a misleading statement because I don't believe that that product will be in your body doing its job at increasing anybody's energy. It might a few people, but the vast majority of people are not going to get or derive 5 hours of energy. And how did they come to that conclusion? It was probably based on their own testimonies and their own sponsored studies. I believe that there's no independent studies that were done on that to yield that 5-hour mark.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
No, okay, okay. No,
and you'll watch and see, because what the FDA and FTC usually do is they wait until these companies generate millions of dollars in sales, then they come after them for misleading claims and statements.
I see. Well, okay. Like I said, Keith, there's a bunch of them. I mean, you've got this company here I've never heard of, but you've got big companies like Coca-Cola. The big soda companies that are now doing energy drinks, they're behind these energy shots because, hey, they're seeing that these little guys here, they're making money. Yep. Same thing with the whole Red Bull revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that sugar is not good for us. We talked about that in the past. We know that caffeine is not good, but
in large quantities over long time, right?
Yes. And these energy drinks, I'm talking about the drinks, okay? We'll get to the shot here in just a second. These energy drinks have a large amount of caffeine.
And usually sugar.
And usually sugar. So you have the caffeine-sugar combination. So that's where you get, you know, buzzed and extra buzzed. And then you crash with these energy drinks. But with this energy shot that I'm holding in my hand, it says it's only got 4 calories. It's sugar-free. And I want to go through the ingredients, if you don't mind, Keith.
Sure.
Okay, so it's got 4 calories. It's got niacin. It's got 30 milligrams. Vitamin B6, 40 milligrams.
Okay, why don't we back up and let's just take each one individually and let me explain to you what they are.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
So what was the first ingredient?
Okay, the first one was niacin.
Okay, now niacin is also known as B3. So niacin is a B vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
It's of the B family, which is found in many B complexes, but it's also found on the shelf sold independently. And niacin is an interesting vitamin because it gives you a flush. And if you really want to freak somebody out, hand them a 500 milligram tablet of niacin, and they will turn beet red, and they'll itch everywhere. Now, B3 has great value to protect you against heart disease, and it's also used in a high concentration both through a prescription that your doctor can write and also sold on vitamin store shelves called Niaspan as a prescription or niacin, which is sold through the health food stores. It actually can help reduce cholesterol, and it's a vasodilator, which means it causes the veins and arteries to kind of open up a little more, so okay. Blood flow is increased.
So it increases circulation.
Yeah, and it does. And it also has a lot of benefits. Now, again, when someone takes it by itself, it can be very uncomfortable because, again, they start to scratch and itch a little bit, and it can give them a real interesting flush that makes them look beet red.
Okay.
So that's what that is. It's a B vitamin. It's fairly harmless, except in high concentrations and at large dosages, it can damage the liver, which is why taking 500 milligrams of niaspan or niacin a patient needs to make sure they get their liver enzymes checked.
Okay, well, this one has 30 milligrams, okay? Next ingredient, vitamin B6.
Okay, another B vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so B6 is a B vitamin. Remember, the B vitamins are responsible for becoming catalyst and coenzymes that interact with food to release the energy from food. So the way B vitamins work is if you just take them on their own and food isn't present, they can't really do their job with the food. Now, B6 is also known as kind of a mild diuretic. It helps to release water. So when people are water retentive, such as natural bodybuilders getting ready for shows, they'll take some additional B6, which is really harmless, and it helps to get rid of menstrual water, water retention. But it's also good, like all B vitamins are, for the nervous system. It's good for the hair. It's good for the skin. And it plays some other roles, minor roles in energy.
Okay, well, this has got 40 milligrams.
All of that's safe.
Okay, next ingredient, folic acid.
Okay.
400 micrograms of folic acid.
Okay. You'll know folic acid from pregnant women's requirements.
Yep.
It has a tremendous benefit in preventing certain tubular defects in pregnancy for the fetus, developing fetus. Folic acid is used, like all B vitamins, for the very same thing, which is basically for energy, hair, skin, nails, and it plays, again, a role in our overall energy and health. All the B vitamins are known for sort of as an energy booster.
Got it. I got one more, and many people may be familiar with this, B12.
B12 is interesting because it can be a little bit overrated for energy. However, where it really plays a big role in energy is in people who have certain types of anemia. So if an individual has lacks what's known as an intrinsic factor in their intestinal tract, they can't absorb B12 and they require injections, they'll become anemic. So B12 also helps in the production of red blood cells, and red blood cells circulate through the body carrying oxygen, and B12 helps to regulate the size of the red blood cells. So if there's something called the mean corpuscular volume, if the size of your red blood cells is too small or too big, you're considered anemic. And this helps to regulate the size of those blood cells, the production of those blood cells, and it also is considered to be an energy booster too, in conjunction with our food, to release the energy from our food. So it has all the benefits of the B vitamins.
Got it. I mean, when I think of B12, I think about, you know, getting a B12 shot. I've never had one, but you hear a doctor giving a B12 shot and you get a burst of energy, boof, you know, that type of thing.
I'll discount that and tell you that I have my own injectable B vitamins here. I inject a B12 shot about once every 2 weeks, and I don't ever feel an enormous boost of energy from it. I never really did, but I do it as a mechanism to protect my liver because I have hemochromatosis, which is a genetic disorder that causes too much iron to accumulate in my blood. So I have to donate a pint of blood about every 4 weeks to keep my iron levels under control.
Oh, wow.
But I give myself a B12 shot because I'm donating that blood. I also take a multivitamin and a B complex, which I've created every day. But that B12 just helps to keep my red blood cell production normal because I am giving a phlebotomy or donating a pint of blood every 4 or 6 weeks.
Wow. Okay. So that's not normal. You know, your situation is not normal.
Yeah, but anybody out there that has that might want to know. But here's everything you mentioned could have been purchased for pennies at a local health food store. So there's nothing really special in there that you're not getting in a multivitamin.
Okay, I'm not done yet.
I got you.
There's also sodium. There's 18 milligrams of sodium.
Okay.
Everyone knows what sodium is, salt. Now this is the energy blend, and this is what I'm assuming is their little secret blend or whatever. Because they don't give you the individual amounts for these ingredients. It just says
that's why. Let's explain that. The reason they don't have to give you individual ingredients is because when you put something together as a blend, then they become a proprietary amount, and you don't have to list them individually because you called them a blend.
Right.
See, and that makes them add up to appear to be more in the total milligrams. So if you were to put down each one individually, it may have a very small amount of one thing and a larger amount of a cheaper thing. Because when you put it together as a blend, it'll show a certain milligrams, which will total them all together.
Right, I see. So
how many total milligrams are in there of the blend?
Of the blend, we're looking at 1,870 milligrams. Okay.
Yeah, so you're really looking at not a whole lot, but that's interesting. Okay, so that's what we have.
This is the energy blend. So I'm assuming this is what actually gives you – this is the stimulants in here. This is what I'm assuming, okay? So you have taurine.
Okay, let's stop with that one.
Okay.
What is taurine to you?
You know what? I've heard that it helps you. First, I think it's an amino acid, and it helps you focus. Am I right?
Okay. Well, it is an amino acid, and it's found in all protein-based foods. It's a constituent of things like bile, and it's found in the lower intestine. And in fact, all amino acids are made from a bacterial production process. And so what this is known for is it's also known for something that interacts with the brain to make one feel more stimulated and more aware. So taurine is very well known to be a pathway or something that's used in the brain and helps to create focus and concentration. So that's what most people know it for.
Okay, is it good? Go ahead.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, there's only a toxicity level when somebody goes, I think, individually above somewhere around 3,000 milligrams.
Okay. Well, the next ingredient is and I'll try to pronounce this. I may have to spell it, but it's glucuronolactone. Glucuronolactone. I'll spell it GLUCURONOLACTONE.
Yeah, see, some of these names I can't even produce, okay, you know, or pronounce.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so letter words or names, it sounds like something that's, wow, it's got to be a really big chemical kind of thing, you mm-hmm. know? And I wanted to go back and mention something about taurine.
Yeah.
That is found in like Red Bulls pretty heavily.
Yes.
Because it is a pick-me-upper, okay? So that's where you see that used a lot. And that's where everybody uses it in their fat burners. They use it in their energy drinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this particular thing that you're talking about, it's found in all connective tissues. But think for a minute. We're going to break this apart and take the first section of the word as gluco, okay? G-L-U-C, which sort of indicates a glucose-based product, right?
Yep.
Yeah. The lactone designates sort of either like a lactase or like a milk type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we ask, is this thing safe or not? There had been a lot of web-based things shooting around the web talking about it's really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is none of that's found out to be true. And really, it's just a thing that's purported to kind of increase energy and provide a better sense of well-being. So that's predominantly what it does. Where it's really derived from is predominantly from plants. But it is a component in our bodies that's making up all of our connective tissues. So it's something that's naturally within our body, helps fight fatigue, and increases your overall sense of concentration and focus, similar to the taurine.
I mean, so far, nothing special here. Nothing, you know.
Nothing. Okay. Yeah, see, everything that you mentioned is common, everyday ingredients found in your local vitamin store shelf.
Okay. How about...
But this one thing, by the way, this one thing right here, out of everything you mentioned, is probably the greatest energy giver out of everything you mentioned.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Next one is malic acid.
Okay. That is usually used, and where we most are familiar with that is it's generally used as a buffering agent. It's used as an agent in like taste and flavor. It's what gives all of your drinks a fruity flavor without adding any sugar. So malic acid's probably the highest level of malic acid you find is in those clearly drinks, beverages that are like watermelon, mango, and you'll see that it contains water, citric acid, and malic acid. And that's just a flavoring agent, so you can make something taste sharp and fruity without giving it any calories. So that's what it's generally known for. And it's usually mixed malic acid and citric acid in sugar-free beverages. So it's not a nutritional giver at all. If anything, it's something that's highly acidic and makes your stomach more acidic. So if you were to drink this thing and you have acid reflux, this would be something that would probably spike it off a little bit. So there's no energy giver there.
Okay. How about the next one here?
It's N-acetylcysteine?
Yes.
Or is it N-acetylcholine?
It's actually N-acetyl L-tyrosine.
Okay. Tyrosine is an amino acid, and N-acetylcysteine is another amino acid.
Okay.
When you link these two together, you may get a slightly different effect, but individually, N-acetylcysteine is a great energy giver, and it helps to mobilize fat from the mitochondria or from the fat cell and carries it like carnitine to the fat from the fat cell to the cell to be used as energy. It's also great for the brain. So N-acetylcysteine is very important and a powerful antioxidant, and it's great for the brain function. And you said the other one was tyrosine?
Right, and actually it's funny because they have it hyphenated, like it's almost like it's together. N-acetyl L and then dash tyrosine.
So okay, they now have tyrosine. Yeah, tyrosine is an amino acid, which interestingly enough has a powerful effect on the brain chemistry. And in the brain, you have things that regulate your energy, like serotonin, which can be manufactured and produced by the body if you take another amino acid called tryptophan. Tyrosine helps to increase something called norepinephrine or epinephrine in the brain. And so this is something that helps to have a very stimulatory effect in the brain's neurochemistry. So those amino acids do cross the blood-brain barrier, and they are very active components of the human's synapses. And a lot of antidepressants work by either increasing serotonin, which is like a serotonin reuptake drug, such as Paxil, and some other antidepressants act by increasing norepinephrine or epinephrine in the brain, and that's what tyrosine does.
Okay, okay.
And that, it has like an antidepressant-like effect.
I see. And let's go with the next one.
Phenylalanine.
Yeah.
Is the amino acid we talked about, which is found in all protein-based foods, which all of these amino acids are. It was also one of those things that was a component of aspartame or EQUA, which we talked about, where people who have something called phenylketonuria should not use these kind of products.
And they have to walk.
Phenylalanine is an amino acid just like the other ones. And it's interesting because the health food industry would tell you that aspartame is bad for you because it has a negative effect on the brain. And yet, here it is in a health food product, and they're going to tell you it has a good effect on the brain. So phenylalanine is another one of those amino acids used by the brain, and all these things put together can have sort of a stimulatory effect on the brain, making you a little bit more alert, a little bit less depressed, feel a little bit sense of energy, and that's basically how these are working.
Here's the next ingredient, which I have a feeling it's got the most out of all the ingredients, and this one is caffeine.
Okay. See, the law states that on your label, whatever you list first, it has the most of, and whatever you list last, it has the least of.
Even on a blend? So, even if you're describing a blend?
For example, that would have to go that way.
I see.
So when they put together the blend, that's usually the way it goes. Now, caffeine, as you and I both know, is good in small concentrations because it heightens one's sense of alertness. It increases their heart rate a little bit, increases their blood pressure, which gives them a get-up-and-go kind of feeling. It does cross the blood-brain barrier, so you feel it in the synapses of the brain, and it takes the place of a key chemical called adenosine, which is a sedative. The adenosine can't reach into the brain synapses because the caffeine is there. It heightens a person's by giving them a short-term burst of energy, focus, and concentration. So what you're really looking at is probably something that's having a greater effect on the brain than it is on the energy of the body.
So that would explain why I didn't feel jittery. I felt more alert. I felt more, you know, aware. It was kind of weird. I just felt, you know, like a burst of feeling more awake and without feeling that jitteriness.
The jitteriness can come oftentimes from what we call skanky products. You know, when you talk about ginseng, you're actually talking about many different types of plants from the same family, where one can be sort of a skanky low grade product and another one can be of a high grade, and they produce different results. And the same thing is true of guarana root and many other things that we put in products. And so like with ephedrine, remember when that was really all the rage and in all the products?
It was a natural speed, yeah.
Yeah, there was a form of ephedrine that had a really good kick to it where you felt uplifted and a better sense of mood, but there were other concentrated types of ephedrine which were what we call the skankier type of product that had a bad after effect that made you feel wired and you know, all jittery.
Do you think that was safe? I mean, you think that should have been taken out of the market like it was?
Actually, I do not believe it should have been removed from the market because it had been in the marketplace for centuries, and it was used in herbal medicine to treat asthma, and it's used still in Chinese pharmacies to treat asthma. It's highly effective for it. What has to be understood, though, in America is that when people get that great boost of energy, And they assume that if one does this, two is going to do even more, and three is going to make me even more energetic. That's when we begin to get problems, because we're a society of more is better.
See, that's
and the...
No, you're right.
Mm-hmm. And in the case of ephedrine, when you took that, what you were probably thinking, your first impression is it's all natural. It's an herb, right?
Right.
But, Dan, how do you know if you're about to have a heart attack or not? See, in the hands of the wrong body and the wrong person, that herb doesn't cause a heart attack. It could be the trigger that precipitates the heart attack because you were due to have one, and anything that puts your body under that kind of stress could trigger it. And so while ephedrine, I think, just got a bad rap, I don't think it should have been removed. I do think that it can be like anything that's sold out there. Alcohol harms more people, as does cigarettes, than ephedrine ever did.
Right.
Now that, so I don't think it should have been removed.
Right. Now, that makes sense. I mean, I think, you know, getting back to the point that you were saying that more is better, and that's the problem here. They take something that could have been good or that was good, and then you've got someone, you know, and let's say an ingredient got famous, like, you know, ephedra. And now there's another product saying, now with twice the ephedra, and now with more, because everyone heard of this ingredient that's supposed to be good, and one's trying to outdo the other. Same thing with energy drinks. You know, there's a product that boasts, you know, it's got twice as much as caffeine as everyone else, and no, that's not a good thing. I mean, you know, it takes something that would have worked okay using in moderation, but now when you're taking it in massive amounts, that's when the harm comes. Now, getting back to this last ingredient here, this one is, I've never even heard of it. It's xylocholine. It's C like in cat, I-L-I, hold on a second. Whoa, this is tiny letters over here. Okay, C-I-T-I-C-O-L-I-N-E, xylocholine.
Okay, what you're talking about is like choline, which is a member of the B complex family. So choline is actually one of the B vitamins. And again, one of those B vitamins is part of the energy giver. Choline is interesting, and the type that you're talking about is a little bit more of a potent type of choline. It also has a tremendous effect on burning fat off the liver. So it has some pretty good effects, but just part of the B family is all. Now, this particular one that you're mentioning, I don't know as much about that one.
Okay.
I know about the choline part of it, but what they've done to alter it or modify it is all I know is that's part of the B family, but I don't know what they've done chemically and what that first section of that means. Now, everything that you mentioned, here's what you have going on when you talk about more is better. Dan, if you have a product that you create and you put on the shelves, and I want to come and compete against you, I can't compete against you by being the same exact thing, can I?
No, you have to have something different.
Yeah, and the way that I could be different, one way is by price. So I could put my product right next to yours and ditch yours as being the same as mine. Mine cost $1.50 and yours is $3, right?
Yeah.
Another way I could appear different is that I could, in big bold letters, say that yours contains... this, but mine contains this, this, and this. So I could add three different ingredients. You may not even know what they are, but mine is the same price as yours, but mine is improved because it has three additional ingredients. See, the concept here is that when you are offering a product and you're in a competitive marketplace, new products will emerge, not because they're better, and they may be, but they have to somehow differentiate themselves to capture their market share, to steal the dollars from the original maker.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to the consumers, they're caught in a world of confusion because they really don't even know what any of this stuff is. Most of them will never go look up the list of ingredients. Most of them really don't understand what the 10-letter or 12-letter words are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just buying something because of the critical word energy, and it looks healthy, it can't be bad for me. And where we start to run into the problems is in the creators who want to put together a product that gives you more of that energy. So they start relying on more caffeine, more guarana root, more kola nut. And that's when you start to get the elevated blood pressure, the arrhythmia, and, you know, the panic attacks if you're susceptible to them and all that kind of stuff. So you know, it's hard for people to be able to tell whether they're getting a healthy product or not just because of the mere nature of the competitive marketplace.
So even if the ingredients sound or look good, right, you don't know what the quality of the ingredients are. And that's the problem with supplements or something like this. You're not guaranteed that you're getting good quality ingredients.
You're not even guaranteed that those ingredients are in there.
True.
When we brought the lawsuit against Muscle Marketing for claiming that its liquid creatine contained creatine, when under five different lab testings, we found it contained very little creatine and a high level of creatinine, which is its toxic counterpart, you see, it didn't really contain what the label claimed it contained. So when we see a lot of supplements out there, one way that they can beat you is they can sell something. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, that product that you listed,
yeah,
I would venture a guess, because I'm in the product development business and I know what they do, I would venture a guess that the packaging of that product is much more expensive than what's in it, the cost of the actual ingredients.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, the plastic container, I bet you anything, is more expensive than the actual ingredients, which are only pennies.
They're making a killing. I mean, $3 for a little bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, which costs pennies. It doesn't cost much.
So let me ask you, your verdict. I want your bottom line with this whole energy crap out there, okay? And be straight up. Would you take this, Keith? First of all, let me ask you, do you ever feel run down and tired? And how do you manage that? Do you ever take an energy drink? Would you ever do this? Would you ever do what I just did today?
No, I don't need it, because the thing for me, Dan, is the real place to get energy is from real food. I eat 6 meals a day. Most people can't do that. The key question here isn't whether I would take it or not. It's, is this product considered to be safe or not? And I'd say the general overall rating of that product, if it contains everything that it says it does, would be relatively safe for most people, except for those people who are on antidepressants. Because you see that tyrosine, the taurine, and the phenylalanine may interact negatively with most antidepressants that people are taking.
So let me ask you.
That would be over time.
Do you drink coffee at all?
Very little. I might have maybe a cup every couple weeks.
Got it. Okay. So bottom line, if you give this product a grade, what would you give it? You know, an A, B, C, D, F, what do you think?
I'd have to grade it on a few different merits. I couldn't just grade it as one whole thing. First of all, on the merit of price, I'd give it a flunking grade, an F, because I think it's overly priced for the benefit.
I agree.
Number two, I think it's a bit overkill to put very cheap things in there that really aren't doing that much, and that's that the entire list of B vitamins don't really have that much worth in that product. It's more like that's like a vitamin product. It's truly the energy blend that the people are receiving the energy from, or their perceived sense of energy. So they could have gotten just the same effect of doing that. But keep in mind, those B vitamins that are listed in there, they actually interact with that energy blend to help release the energy from the blend.
Ah, that makes sense.
So they have a synergistic effect where by themselves are they great. As a safety factor, I'd probably give it a B, just because those people who are on antidepressants and some other medical disorders probably don't need to be taking something like that. And it doesn't probably state on the label anywhere that if you're on antidepressants, you should be cautious with this product or consult with your physician.
So, Keith, would you steer people away from energy shots? Would you, is there a better way? Again, you were talking about food. You're saying, okay, the best source of energy is through food. Is there anything else that you can do if you're feeling tired and run down all the time? Okay, what is the best solution for you to get out of that?
Well, I would say, you know, pay attention to your rest. Number two, pay attention to your water intake, because your fluid balance of your body is tremendously important for the energy cycle.
So when you say water intake, you mean get enough water?
Yeah.
Drink enough
Most
water.
Most people are dehydrated, and that's the first thing. The moment you ever walk out to do an activity and you're dehydrated, you're overtrained. See, when people talk about, and by the way, we'll do another show on just strictly the truth about overtraining. Okay. Most people are not overtraining. In fact, it's very hard to overtrain if you eat correctly. However, if you undereat, you are immediately overtraining the moment you start working out. If you're dehydrated, there's no way you're going to have much energy because it's critical in the energy cycle.
How do you know? So, how do you know if you're dehydrated? What are the signs? You're saying most people are dehydrated. How do I know?
One is you pay attention to your fluid intakes during the day. Do you drink often? Not just when you're thirsty, but you have a glass of water, a bottle of water with you, and we get metabolic water from the foods we eat. But let's face it, anybody who wakes up after 8 hours of sleeping and skips breakfast they aren't going to have energy. Mm-hmm. So by the time lunch rolls around, not only do they not have energy to the maximum capacity, but now they're going to be overly hungry. Because when you go 8 hours without food and you wake up and then you go another four without food, your body is basically having to feed off its own blood sugar, its own stored energy in its muscle. So your body is getting energy by feeding off itself. Now when you sit down to eat a meal, your appetite is so out of control that it's just give me food right now. I don't care what it is. And when a person gorges and overeats on that instant high-fat, fast-food kind of meal, that's going to make them tremendously tired in 2 hours because all the blood, not all the blood, but a lot of the blood has to go to the arena of the stomach and the small intestine to be able to transport the nutrients throughout the body. So the blood leaves the kind of the brain area and all that, and you get this sudden low after eating a large lunch at sometime around 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So it's got a stimulating effect that leaves you crashed, I mean, quickly.
Well, that if you don't eat. So the best way to have energy is to wake up, have some fruit in the mid-morning, eat a nice balanced lunch, and you wouldn't have these problems, or you wouldn't have a requirement and be low in energy. Now, the other way to get energy could be a cup of coffee. You know, it's going to give you the same effect. But I wouldn't say I steer people away from these things. I would want to create the root, a solution to the root of the problem, which is most people are under-eating and therefore don't have the energy.
And here's another thing about coffee. If you're a coffee drinker, you definitely want to make sure that you know, because some people like their coffees sweet or maybe with lots of cream. You got to be really careful because that will sneak in there when you're not even, paying attention, really. The amount of sugar and fat that you consume just with a cup of coffee. And there's people that drink, you know, several cups of coffee a day.
Yeah, when you go into Starbucks, I would encourage anybody just to walk over, because the nice thing about today's marketplace is the laws are in place that state if you're a nationwide chain and food service, you have to provide, either on the web or on the premises, the caloric and fat and whatnot content of all of the things you serve. You have access when you walk in Starbucks over on the table to pick up their calorie counting sheet, and you can see that a lot of their coffees can have 400 and 500 calories in a cup of coffee. If that's the kind of coffee you're eating, drinking, you're going to get some energy because of the caffeine, the sugar, and the calories, but it's going to be followed by a heavy crash. What you took shouldn't be followed by a heavy crash because it really wasn't a strong, upward, jittery kind of a high, you know? It was just a more of an alert feeling.
But honestly, I'll tell you what, after taking this, I didn't feel right taking it. I knew that it wasn't necessarily the best thing to do. I was just really curious. But I felt when I was drinking it, you know, there's a better way. There's a better way to get energy. And again, it's with food. If you're eating right, if you're getting enough rest, that's another thing that's really important too. The quality of your sleep, how much water you drink, all those factors combined is going to result in you having consistent energy. And I think that's really the bottom line, right?
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think we're out of time. And why don't you go ahead and mention the best way to contact you and how can someone get a hold of you if they wanted to consult with you directly, Keith?
Okay, thanks, Dan. Well, I'm the owner and CEO of the Institute of Eating Management in Houston, Texas, and we have a staff of nutritionists, so no matter where you are on the planet today, we do phone consults. so we can work with you by telephone. And we also have a website called eatingmanagement.com. If you just Google eating management in Houston, it should come up. And the website is www.eatingmanagement, just like you're eating food and you are in management, eatingmanagement.com. And that'll bring you to our website where our books are, and they can subscribe to this podcast or tell their family about it there. And we also have CDs and other information as well. And we have a newsletter there that gives a lot of our consumer activist work and new recipes every month.
All right. And if you're listening, we haven't had a question yet. I know that our subscriber base is increasing every week, but don't be shy. If you have a question, we would love to answer it on the show. You can simply email us at beyonddiet@gmail.com, or you can just go directly to the website, beyonddietpodcast.com, and click the link, ask a question. If you have a question, fill out the form. So I gave you two ways of contacting us. If you have a question or even a comment, even if you like it, don't like it, we would love to hear from you. So thanks.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The other thing, Dan, is that I'd love to hear people's input on what they would like us to talk about, too.
Oh, definitely.
Because I'm more than happy to cover anybody has a specific topic that they would say, could you do a show on this particular subject matter? We're more than happy to abide by that request.
And you know what, Keith, I know we've talked about this, but we will have some guests in the future, hopefully not too far future, some surprise guests, mm-hmm. and we'll interview them here on the show. And I think that will also, help people get, be more aware of what we're doing over here too as well.
You bet. In fact, we have access through our clinic to so many pro bodybuilders, professional sprinters, runners, models, and athletes. I think they'll be great to bring on the show for those that are more inclined towards the athletic side as well.
So good stuff is coming. Keep listening, guys. And we will be here next week. Same time, same bat station. I stole the line, Keith. Take care, everyone, and have a good night.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.